Hello, beautiful people. How are you? I hope you are doing amazing. You already know what it is. We are here for another installment of Thoughtful Threads, a fashion philosophy podcast. Do me a favor, just for a bit of transparency here. TikTok has been blowing mine right now because I haven't gotten to the point yet where I have the bandwidth to do long form content via YouTube or Patreon or something of that nature. Definitely want to get on board with that and just have my stuff in multiple places just because, like, TikTok is so aggravating to me right now. And actually, as I say that, if you're on Instagram, might you consider following Thoughtful Threads Pod over there? That's the same handle as the one on TikTok. If you found me on TikTok, it's the same exact handle, just on Instagram. Because I think what I'm going to do is the videos that TikTok has not been letting me post for some reason, I'm just going to post them over to Instagram. I know Instagram and Mark Zuckerberg doesn't like your stuff to have the TikTok watermark on it. But I don't care. I'm just going to do what I want to do because I want to have that creative content live somewhere. And TikTok has been really mean to me this last week, you guys. I don't know what I did to anger the TikTok overlords, but like I've tried to put up three different videos and they're all getting flagged for community guidelines or something. And there's no button to tell you how to appeal it or to ask more questions about what it is that you did. And in my case, I'm like, I'm literally talking about clothes. Like, I don't know what I could have done to violate community guidelines in a conversation about clothing. So I don't really know what it is. I'm so frustrated with that app right now. And so if you don't see me on there for a couple of days, this is why. And it actually brings me into the conversation that I wanted to have today, which is all about algorithms and how they affect personal taste and personal style in particular, since that is the realm in which we deal with mainly on this platform. So this conversation is inspired by a couple different books, but mainly inspired by a book that I am almost done reading. I'm literally a few pages shy of returning the book back to the library, but it's a book I started reading earlier this month called Filter World by Kyle Chayka. And the full title of the book is called Filter World: How Algorithms Flattened Culture. And it's really good. I would highly encourage you to read it or listen to it on audiobooks if you can't find the time to just sit down uninterrupted and read, because I totally get that. But I would highly encourage you, if you are anything like me and trying to make sense of this crazy technological world that we're living in, it's a great book because it talks about the algorithm and how it affects the offline world as well as obviously the online world. And it really puts into perspective just how much we suffer as users by the hands of the algorithm, not because the algorithm is inherently good or bad, but because the algorithm has been trained essentially to siphon out whatever has the most engagement and whatever will have you most glued to the app that you're on, right? But what does it really mean to have the most engagement? That word gets thrown around a lot when people talk about how to optimize your social media. If you're a content creator, which it seems nowadays, whether or not you want to be one, you kind of are one just based on how things work. So, what does it really mean to have high engagement? Essentially, it's a numbers game, right? If the app is incentivized to get you to spend as much time on there as possible, which allows the app to glean as much information about the kind of person you are as possible, which then allows the app owners to sell that information to data brokers and companies, which then allows them to best market to you so that they can increase the likelihood that you will buy XYZ. So that's a very condensed definition of what the algorithm is supposed to be doing. So having the highest engagement doesn't translate to having the highest quality? Does it translate to having the highest return on investment for the end user? a lot of content that I personally look at on these apps, it's so twisted the relationship that we can have with social media sometimes because TikTok in particular can be very addicting. I'm at a point now where I'm starting to engage with it less and less just from a user perspective. But I can spend, or I have spent, hours on that app. And I think at the end of it, when I finally throw the phone across the room, basically, like, what did I gain from that? Like, what did that inspire me to do? Once upon a time, I'd be on social media and I got inspired to do stuff. I saw, taking it back to the days of YouTube and beauty YouTube, which I was a big follower of for many years, I would see a beauty influencer on YouTube do a full face of makeup, and then I would get inspired to break out my brushes and my palettes and do a full face of makeup and then take some photos and, whatever else comes from that. Or if I'm like, oh man, I look good, let me go outside and like take myself to lunch. Like it resulted in me actually getting up and doing something versus a lot of the content that I consume on these apps nowadays. Once I'm done with the 30 second or 2 minutes or 4 minutes, whatever it is, piece of content, I'm left asking myself, okay, what am I supposed to do with this information exactly? Like keeping it on fashion, because that's the medium that we dabble in over here. I see countless unboxings. Okay, I mean, I understand the purpose and the place of an unboxing. Like, I get it, especially for people who are in the market for that thing and they want to see how it looks in real life before they pull the trigger and purchase it. Unboxings are great for that. There's a lot of use cases, I'm sure, for why an unboxing is important to someone. But for me, 90% of the time, it just crosses my path whether I was looking for it or not. And so the algorithm, because I like fashion, is just throwing me the types of fashion content that is reaching the maximum amount of eyeballs. But that's the metric by which the algorithm determines that this is a valuable piece of fashion content. That's not the metric by which I would determine what's a valuable piece of fashion content, right? So therein lies the disconnect as the end user who wants to be on social, who wants to learn new things and discover new things and be inspired to do something, because that's what social used to feel like for me. And I'm not saying social media was ever a utopia of sorts, but it felt a lot more invigorating than it does now. And that could be just because of the passage of time and I'm getting older, and things that used to impress me or excite me just don't do it for me anymore. I'm sure a good chunk of it is that, but also a good chunk of it is that the algorithms have made discovery a lot harder in a very real and impactful way. And there's not enough granularity in algorithms and in social media to give everyone exactly what they want. I created my platform personally just because I had been searching for quite a while at that point for fashion content that was in the realm of what I wanted to hear about, which for me is just kind of a throwback to what it used to be when I was younger. Commentators like Robert Verdi and Tim Blanks, who are still alive and well, but who absolutely would not thrive under the current models and metrics that social media algorithms use today. Because that level of criticism and analysis in the fashion space doesn't perform necessarily as well for the algorithm. And so the algorithm suppresses it and pushes the things that are getting the most engagement, which happen to be the things that I care the least about. Great, you unboxed this item. Where do we go from here? What do I do with this information? What does this inspire me to do? I mean, for a lot of people, it inspires them to buy that very same thing. I mean, there are scores and scores and scores of people who, it doesn't even have to be a fashion-related piece of content, right? Somebody could be pouring their heart out about how they lost their last $5 bill in a sewer drain, And someone will still be in the comments like, deets on the shirt, a question mark. It's like, hello, read the room. This person is about to be evicted in the next 5 minutes. Like, what are you talking about? And I see scores of comments like that all the time. And so when you have content that is not even made for the purpose of selling something, you're getting questions on how to buy something. So imagine when you're making content with the express purpose of trying to sell something and use your affiliate links and this, that, and the third. I'm sure that the reaction is explosive, and I'm sure the algorithm loves it, especially when it's probably integrated into the shopping platform within the app itself, which I don't even have to know anything about that business model to be willing to bet a sizable amount of money that the app takes a cut of every sale. So why would they not boost that? And I can go on and on and on, but the bottom line is what the algorithm is supposed to prioritize based on its programming is the exact thing that I don't want to see. And so that leaves me feeling dissatisfied with social media as the end user because I'm not getting what I want out of the deal. And ultimately, the needs of the many exceed the few, and I am in the few. Most people do not want a Tim Blanks level analysis about a collection at Paris Fashion Week. Most people don't want to have those super cerebral talks about clothing. They just want to feel the dopamine rush of going to the store or buying it online and having it show up at their doorstep and filming their unboxing and taking it out of the pretty packaging and the wrapping paper and parading it around the room for everybody to go ooh and ah. And then, just as quickly as that dopamine rush came, it goes away because that type of happiness is always fleeting. And then they're left looking for the next thing and the next thing and the next thing to consume. And if your brain is in, essentially a rabbit brain state, why would you appreciate sitting and listening to somebody talk for 30 minutes about 25 items in a fashion show? And even then, if you add another layer on top of it and we make this a super personal diatribe, I don't even care about that stuff for the most part at this stage of my life. I want to talk about clothing and how it impacts real people in real life. And that kind of content is even harder to come across. And it's not that I think it doesn't exist, but with the way that the algorithm works, it's nearly impossible to find. And what the book Filter World argues is that this creates over time what the author refers to as a flat, I can't say flattening in that, I'm sorry, I'm from a Caribbean background. I have to say the T super pronounced, I'm sorry, the flattening of culture. I'm gonna say flattening for the rest of this pod, okay? I can't say it. I tried the first time, I can't do it. And the world we have today is dictated by what is the easiest to consume. So that doesn't take into account different tastes or behaviors or emotions. It's just whittling everything down to the lowest common denominator. And it's rapidly becoming our new normal. And I hate to sound boomerific, but it's really alarming how fast everyone has adopted this pervasive belief that anything that challenges convention or that challenges the way you feel needs to be destroyed. Like, there are so many takes that I see, even on my page on TikTok, where someone will just be talking about something that they don't agree with or something that they don't like. Like, for example, I made a TikTok video that corresponds with the last podcast episode I recorded on here about Ami Song and her new clothing line. And the amount of disclaimers that some folks felt they had to make just for them to say, I won't be interested in her new clothing line. Like, I don't like her style or whatever it is. The amount of people that had to give so many disclaimers just to say such a very simple thing. You don't like her clothes. That's okay. But I understand why they feel the need to preface this with, all this beforehand speech about, don't shoot, because since we have flattened everything, People are so used to a frictionless way of life, whether it be online or offline. Everybody is being docile about things that they don't need to be docile about. And again, boomerific here. I think this is especially alarming with younger Gen Z and then Gen Alpha because this is literally all they know. And these algorithms are creating legions of young people who think that it's normal not to have differences of opinion or not to just like other things that somebody else may not like as much as you. Look at the scores of people, some older, but a lot of them young too, so young and old people who will get on the internet every other day and then claim that they can't wait for us to normalize cargo pants again or normalize maxi skirts in khaki green or whatever. And it's like, you don't need it to be normalized to wear it. If you own it and you want to wear it today, then wear it today. You know, this hive mind mentality that unless the general consensus is that it's okay, then I can't wear it. That is lunacy to me. And I like to think that I'm, super brave and out there and I march to the beat of my own drum, and I do, but also I have to consider the context in which I lived my life, right? You know, Kamala Harris definitely said a word when she was like, "You think you just fell out of a coconut tree?" I did not fall out of a coconut tree. The reality is, even though I was a freak, I lived in a world where freaks openly existed and friction was to be expected. And that is why subcultures exist or existed. Because everybody wasn't gonna like the vibes that you were on. And so you found a core group of people who got it. The girls who get it, and you hung out with them and you did your thing. And this way of life also extended to the internet, too. Someone said the other day on one of these apps, I don't even know who it was, but they said something to the effect of there's only really like four or five websites that we all use collectively as billions of people. There used to be so many niche websites for different types of people. There were message boards about the most random things you could think of. And no, they were never going to reach the levels of, say, a TikTok that has over a billion active users. They were never going to reach that because they have such a niche core product offering, but they fostered a community with like-minded people. And they, even if you couldn't meet those people, even if you couldn't reach out and touch them, you knew they were real. And just having a community online to talk to, I'm making this up, 5,000 other people who really like tie-dyeing their clothes from L.L. Bean. Even if they were the only ones you knew, it affirmed you and it made you accept yourself in a lot of ways. And if variety is the spice of life, and I do believe that it is, it's getting very bland. Now, of course, I don't want to just sit up here and vilify the internet entirely because that's only one half of the story, because there are pros and cons to both sides of the coin. Before we had algorithms, we had people who were, and these words get very overused these days, but we had people who were tastemakers, who were curators, who we trusted as a collective group, even though many of them didn't have our consent, but they were appointed some way, somehow, to the esteemed responsibility of deciding what the rest of us would like. I mean, that's what fashion magazines were for many, many years. It was a core group of people who lived and worked in New York City, who looked over scores of fashion designers and beauty brands and restaurants and everything else under the sun, and they published what they personally perceived as the best of the best. And we trusted in their expertise and took their word as law. And of course, that's going to have flaws because every human has subconscious biases. We just do. And of course, there's going to be subconscious biases when the people who are tasked with being the curators of everything in the world of fashion are all pretty homogenous, right? They're all white, thin, oftentimes privileged and rich women who more or less congregate around the same things and can live very insular lives. And I know that for a fact because I've worked with them for many years when I was still in the industry. And I'm not saying that they all had malicious intent. I actually think most of them were subconsciously feeding into their biases. And that absolutely creates a conflict of interest because, really, when you're looking at all these magazines, you're only seeing a reflection of what someone already believes in. Most of the time, that person is not really pushing the needle. And I'm not saying that their choices weren't good. I'm saying that their choices were good for who they are, but it doesn't reflect the diversity of not the world, certainly, and sometimes, oftentimes, not even your readership or the people who just purchase from you if it's not fashion magazines altogether. Again, I'm a broken record. I've said this many times, but I used to be a buyer for a very well-known online luxury retailer, and it was pulling teeth to get them to consider brands that were backed by African designers. And another time that I can remember also with that company, this is a random kind of a side story, but I think it kind of ties in what we're talking about here today. We had Pierre Moss, which is a brand that is no longer in business, unfortunately. Many, many fashion brands shutter their doors because it's very expensive. And the Pierre Moss brand was very open about the fact that it was a black-owned brand. And we had the collection for sale on the website for pre-order because it was straight off the runway. So you put down money beforehand. And then after it's been produced and about to ship to you, you put down the other half. That's how that works. That's how that works in any industry, honestly. And I knew when I saw the collection, I thought the collection was great, but I knew when I saw the collection that it wasn't going to perform well on our website because we don't cater to the woman who would have bought Pierre Moss ready to wear at full retail, straight off the runway. We don't cater to her at all. And it's not because those pieces aren't nice, but it's because we're not signaling to that person who finds the beauty in a sequin dress that has a black woman's face on it. And that's because those subconscious biases resulted in a company that aesthetically is by white women and for white women. And anything that doesn't fit in that realm is going to tank, period. And that's exactly what happened time and time again. And that's just an example, of how the human algorithm, aka curation and tastemaking, is flawed. Let alone the algorithm by a computer that doesn't even account for nuance and emotion and all of the other things that comprise being a human being. There's going to be so many people left out of the fray. Because often what brings the most attention and the most engagement is not the most informative, is not the most thought-provoking, is not even the most interesting. It's the most bare bones metric by which you can judge anything that has ever existed. And I'm not saying I know what the answer is. Social media is free. So I understand in a lot of ways that this is how things have to go. And then there are just so many people on social media that I couldn't even begin to think of a way to get information across everyone's feeds without an algorithm. But the thing is, the algorithm is not showing me what I want to see. So if it's doing that to me, it's doing that to countless other folks too. And we have had several iterations of the World Wide Web, and I think it's time to usher in a new one where we fine-tune these algorithms and get them to be more granular and get them to really take into account our nuances as people and what we actually like. Because if I just say, on TikTok when it asks me to select the things that I like, and I put fashion when I click on the little button, fashion is a whole wide universe to itself. What does that even mean? That's so vague that there's no way you could possibly be showing me fashion in the way that I want to see it. So, definitely going back to the drawing board on algorithms, finding out a way to get them to speak to different kinds of people. And I mean, that's got to be the only way. If the internet is going to be free, if social media is going to be free, then I don't see how else you would do it. Now, of course, if you find someone or some entity whose content you enjoy, and they do have more information behind a paywall, I completely understand why they would do that. Look at me. I can't even post anything on TikTok right now because it's punishing me, but I can shoot out a newsletter to everyone who signed up and thank you very much, and sign up, please, if you haven't. I can shoot a newsletter to everyone in the mailing list and talk about exactly what I want to talk about with exactly the kinds of people I would like to talk about it with. And you do not have that when you just throw your content into the void that is the internet and then hope and pray that the algorithm will send it to the right people. So, yeah, you guys know I'm really not good at ending these things, but this is a very complicated conversation that cannot possibly be dissected in one or even like two or three conversations, honestly. And it involves a lot of back-end knowledge that is outside of my wheelhouse of expertise. I am nobody's tech guru. I am nobody's IT department. So I don't know if what I'm proposing is much easier said than done. I couldn't tell you, but I can tell you that the current iteration of social media and the internet today is really boring to me. And if it's boring to you, won't you consider joining my newsletter? No. I mean, no, please consider it, but no, on a serious note. If it is boring to you too, you're definitely not alone. There are whole entire books being written about this. Like, I've honestly spent the first quarter of this year just literally reading about the internet and technology and how it's impacting us, because I don't know if it has something to do with Pluto and Aquarius. I don't know if it has something to do with just another revolution around the sun and just thinking differently, but I've just felt a shift where I can definitively say that the internet is not fun to me anymore. And it used to be the place to go to see people doing something different and exciting. And even if it wasn't exciting, if it was odd, if it was weird, it was still different. I could still go on different pockets of the internet and have completely different experiences, see a completely different website, different look and feel. Like, everything was different. Shoot, people's phones were different. There was a time when, like, you could have five different friends and y'all all had five drastically different phones. Now everybody's phone essentially looks the same. It's a giant brick. That's the flattening of cellular phone design. Like, there are so many things that this spills over into. And when your only metric by which you judge yourself is market share or a number of people engaged, it just dilutes everything and makes everything a lot less fun. So let me know what you think. I would really, really love to hear your feedback. I know I say that on every video, but I really do mean it. Like, again, I created this whole platform because I wanted to meet those people, whether virtually or otherwise, and talk about these things that I can't find anyone else talking about because the algorithm won't let us be great. So you can find me on all the big social media, which for me is TikTok and Instagram, at Thoughtful Threads Pod. You can also shoot me an email, which you can find at the links in my bio on both of those platforms if you click on it. And let's chop it up. And until next time, I will see you on the internet. Bye.